I've had the opportunity to meet with half of you today, and so I was able to hear how things were going for these half of the people. And I'm very pleased. The people are very much in their practice and in the retreat. And so it's very good to hear how people are practicing and everyone really finding their own way, finding their own way in the practice, which is really what happens. We enter into a particular form of the practice. We have a place, we have a teaching, we have a meditation technique, but then everybody finds their own way in it. And it's very interesting to hear and to experience how that happens for people. And it's very, very good to hear. And I have to say myself, I don't know how you're feeling, but I'm very happy that tomorrow isn't our last day. Which, which when we have the four-night retreat, tomorrow would be our last day of practice. It just doesn't seem, it's too soon. So I'm really, really glad that we have one extra day, because I think that certainly from what I can hear and experience is that it's really just starting. Very much people are really just entering in to their practice and to their retreat. And so we'll have a little bit more opportunity for this to develop, because I think you all can see now that there's so much difference today than there was yesterday. And many people reported that today, you know, that yesterday was really a lot of tiredness and getting here, you know, kind of getting here, and today having much more sense of presence and awareness and having arrived. And my sense is that tomorrow will be a very different day again from today. And this is very much how it goes on retreat. So I'm very, very happy that together we have a chance to develop the practice and the teachings, because there is the potential to go very deep, very, very deep into this insight meditation. Because the insight, it's the discovery, it's the revelation, it's a journey. We're on a journey. You know, it's not even necessarily a journey to a specific destination. It's not like we start here and we end up there. It's a journey without a destination. It's not just the linear, you go from A to B to C, you know, like that's how the mind goes. You know, I want to go there, and so then I go down this path and I wind up there. We have a sense of having results, right? Outcome, like if I do this, I'll get that, right? Maybe it's stronger in America. I don't know. It's like it's very, very, we're going to make this happen. You know? I do think that in this culture, there is much more sense of openness. It feels much softer and more open and more receptive. So this way of going is really going without knowing where we're going. We don't know where we're going. We don't know what's going to open up. And it's really such a wonderful part of this teaching and this practice is this really the letting go. It's a letting go and trusting. Trusting this unfolding. Trusting the journey. trusting this adventure without knowing. So even in that not knowing, there's a releasing, there's a letting go of that control, of that expectation, even judgment about what we think should be happening, right? Or how it should be happening, or the way it should be happening. Because we see as we open and let go, this has its own nature. It has its own way. It has its own intelligence. It's a wisdom beyond the wisdom of this mind, this small mind. It's bigger, much, much bigger. So we let go into that. We keep letting go into that. One thing I'm also noticing is that nobody has complained about the weather. If we were in America and we were getting this kind of weather, everybody would be complaining. And it's really so refreshing. It's just so delightful. I mean, people are even saying, I'm liking the weather. I'm enjoying this weather. Or as the cook, sorry, I can't pronounce her name. Breen, I call her Breen. She reminded me that the rain is this like diamonds from the sky. Right? Diamonds from the sky. You know, so different. You know, it's like it's not an interference. It's not a disturbance. No. But last year, when I was here, and those of you who were here last year, it was clear and sunshine the whole time. And so I got spoiled. I thought, oh, the weather's so beautiful. And it was so good for the retreat in that we could go out and take long walks and be out late at night and, you know, and I love that. And now I'm getting a different experience. But I think maybe this is something that you're used to. It's not so unusual. But where I live in California, there's about 6 months, 7 months of sunshine without a break. Right. Maybe a little bit of fog, low cloud comes in the morning and then goes away. There's a lot of sunshine. All right. So we get spoiled. And I can see how, you know, again, the habit can be to like the sunshine, as a way to lift the mind, kind of lift the mind, to lift the heart. Oh, the sunshine. Ah, now I feel good. Right? And when it's not so sunny, if I am dependent on that, if I need the sun to lift my energy, to lift my mind, then when there's no sun, then I collapse. I go down the sinkhole. Just down the hole. Collapse. My energy collapses. My mind collapses. And so in that way, you could see that if there's a habit, you know, there's a habit of needing conditions, needing the outside to help the inside. You know, I can only be happy if the sun is shining. Right? Just for example, if the sun isn't shining, I can't be happy. Right? I just get tired. I just want to sleep. I don't want to be here. But it's a habit. And I can see you don't have this habit. As somebody said to me today, we have to go on. Right? We have to go on. You can't let the weather stop. You know, you can't let that stop. But it's a habit. Right? We develop these different habits. So we're wanting to find a way to be in our experience where there are no conditions, no experiences are affecting that quality of the openness, of the wakefulness, of the energy being up and bright. And we can see how conditions, how experiences, how situations can affect us. Well, if it's like that, I can't be like this. If you're like that, I can't be happy. If the situation is like this, I'm going to suffer. If my body is like this, I don't even want to live. I don't want to be here. But we're being in our experience now. We're learning how to be in our experience where it comes and it goes. We see the mind changes. It's always changing. The body is always changing. Sometimes this body is healthy and it's strong and it feels good. And sometimes this body is not healthy, it doesn't feel good, there is pain, there is discomfort. It's just the body. But does it have to affect the mind? Does it have to affect the mind state? This is what we're working with. This morning in the teaching, I was teaching the Buddha's teaching on the second arrow. It's the second arrow. So the first arrow is the pain in the body. It's like when the bow and the arrow, you shoot the arrow. Yes, having a body is painful. That's the first arrow. The first arrow is being born. The fact that we are born, the fact that we come into a body is the first arrow. We are going to be in pain. There's no way around that. Right? No way around that. We can't do anything about it in this human condition. That's the way it is. But we can do something about the second arrow. The second arrow, because we're shooting it. I'm shooting it from my mind. And that's the arrow in the mind. When I say, it should not be like this. I don't want it to be like this. Something's wrong. Something's wrong with the way things are, right? Or this is bad. This is bad, it's wrong. This is just the mind. It's just the overlay, we call it overlay, we put on top of the experience. The Buddha calls it the second arrow, shooting the second arrow. We don't need to do that. We will get the first arrow. That's the way it is. I brought this from the Buddha's teachings. It's called the Five Reflections. The Five Reflections from the Anguttara Nikaya. The first one, I am of the nature to grow old. There is no way to escape growing old. It's the first one. We can reflect on this. The second one, I am of the nature to have ill health, to get sick. There is no way to escape getting sick. Right? The third one, I am of the nature to die. There is no way to escape death. Right? We reflect on this. There's no way. In some ways, this is the first arrow. We are born. Our mothers gave birth to us into a body. It's going to be painful. The fourth one. Fourth one is I, Oh, I didn't know if I started the tape. I did. That would be painful. No, I'm joking. The fourth one. All that is dear to me and everyone I love are of the nature to change. There is no way to escape being separated from them. I will be separated from them. There's no way I can escape that. All that is dear to me and everyone that I love, I will be separated from. We reflect on this. It's painful. And the last one, the fifth one that we reflect on is that I cannot escape the consequences, the result of my actions, right? That when I put something in motion, I will get that result. So I want to know, what am I putting in motion? Because I'm going to get that. For example, when we come on a retreat, this is something very good to be setting in motion because you'll get good results, right? Good consequences, right? We will get that. So we reflect on these. This is the way it is. This is the nature. So we come to terms with, we make peace with the way things are. Right? This is so much of what this practice is about, is how do we shoot that second arrow of judgment, of expectation, of our hope for things to happen a certain way, and our fear that they won't, which is all this kind of way that we get into a contracted state, we get into a painful state. So the Buddha speaks about these five difficult mind states. He actually just lists these five difficult mind states, which we all know, but we particularly experience them when we first come on retreat, when we first start practice, because it's what we encounter, it's what we meet, are these five difficult mind states. And the first one is this desiring mind, this wanting mind, the mind that's wanting these different kinds of experiences than the ones that we're having. And we can see this in so many different ways. Somebody was talking about not being able to stay with the breath. You know, why I want this experience of being one with the breath. It's not happening. It's just not happening. So what do? We let go. We do our practice, but we let go. What is happening? What is happening? Right? So this, the mind that wants certain experiences, this is one of the difficult mind states. We want to recognize this mind of desire or greed. Then the second one is the opposite of the aversion, where we resist or we push away. We don't want what's happening. And I can see this a little bit in my own mind with the weather. Because I'm wondering, what are people going to do about walking meditation? There's nowhere to go. Of course, that's my mind. You know, I don't realize that there's all this. You'll just go and walk, right? So I can feel a little bit of the aversion, the resistance, like I don't want so much rain. So people can go out and be in the nature and walk. It's like just my mind, right? So I have to see that, I have to notice that, that's resistance, that I don't want to walk. I don't want to walk in the rain. But that's my mind, so I have resistance to it. So I want to see that, because if I follow it and I continue to feed it and dwell on it, then it's just going to be more painful, right? And then we have this other difficult mind state of tiredness, right? The tiredness where we just can't stay awake. We keep falling asleep, or the mind goes into dullness or tiredness. We lose awareness. We can't stay present. A low energy. And that's difficult for us because we don't like it. We don't want it. We can feel resistance to it. We bring in another difficult mind state against the tiredness. And then the opposite of that is the restless mind, where the mind is very agitated, it's very restless, it's got a lot of energy in the mind, too much energy, not tired, but too much energy. The body gets restless, agitated, it's hard to sit still, we're fidgeting, moving, you know. It's also difficult. And then all of this together can bring about doubt, questioning about, is this right for me? Can I really do this practice? Are these the right teachings? Is this the right time for me to be doing a retreat? I don't really want to be here. I think I'll leave. You know? So because we're not actually just seeing the mind states for what they are. They're just passing show, a passing landscape of the mind, just like the weather that comes and it goes. Sometimes there's wanting, sometimes there's resistance, sometimes there's tiredness, sometimes there's restlessness, sometimes we go into doubt, but it's all just like clouds, rain, wind, right? Just coming and going and coming and going. But we can take it so personally. Say, something's wrong. Something's wrong with me. Something's bad. We can even think something's bad about me, or something's not good. Like, I can't do this, or what's there's a problem, making myself into a problem. Because we're not really seeing that it's just the mind changing. We see, it's so helpful to see the mind like weather. Just weather. Weather patterns, coming and going. And in that way, we're not adding anything more on top of it. We don't make so much meaning out of it. We don't make it into something, right? Which is what the mind likes to do. It builds up, makes more and more stories, more and more layering of stories about me. And this is who I am, this is how I am, this is who I am, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's all about me. And I lose connection with the nature, with that wisdom awareness, right? Wisdom awareness sees that it's just coming and going like the weather. Just changing patterns. The mind changes, the body changes. And as I see that more deeply, I start to build in myself a trust. I start to trust more. I develop patience. I develop more kindness, more love for this adventure, for this journey, because I'm not so much in resistance to it, or I'm not so much trying to control it, right? I'm just opening and allowing and trusting the way things are, more and more and more. And so it's very much how this practice works. This practice works through the clear seeing of the way things are. And in the letting go, then I am cultivating, I'm developing these virtues, these qualities of the heart, of the love, of the kindness, of the trust, of patience, of wisdom, of awareness. Each time I let go and get out of the way. We hear this phrase a lot in spiritual practice of, get out of the way. Get out of the way. Let it unfold. Let things unfold. trust in this great mystery, this great intelligence that is so much bigger than me. I'm so small, I'm so insignificant in the face of that. That, T-H-A-T, without a name. Sometimes we say the nameless, no name, that. We can't put a name on it. Christian tradition, they put a name, God. It's God. God nature. And each person finds their own name, their own word, their own way, their own personal, very personal relationship with that. That which is so much greater than this mind, this small, tiny little mind can even begin to understand. Can't understand. We cannot understand. So we get out of the way. Just get out of the way. Back up. It's kind of a back up. Just keep backing up. And see if we can see the way things are. There's this lovely word in the teaching, the ancient language. It's called papancha. People know about papancha? You've heard this? Papancha is in the Pali and the Sanskrit language. It's the way the mind builds on itself into a story. It thinks of one thing, and then it thinks of another thing, and then it thinks another thing, and before you know it, you're on a train, you jumped on a train, and you're going somewhere, and you may not even know where the train is going, but at some point you go, oh, how did I get here? I didn't want to go here. Sometimes we call it the train of thought, association. You start thinking about one thing and then another thing and then another thing. And the literal translation is to spread out. So the mind spreads out. And all of a sudden you're in a big story. And that story becomes so real that we may not even realize that we're in a story. So I want to give you a little example of something that happened last year for me. I had heard about this movie called Amwa in French. French movie, Amwa. And it had French subtitles. Sorry, English subtitles, and it was in French. And the story was about these two retired music teachers in their late 70s, early 80s. Maybe some people have seen this movie. They're very, very beautiful, close couple, married couple. And then the woman, Anne, who's George and Anne, and the woman gets a stroke. Terrible. She has a stroke. And she's paralyzed on her right side. And they thought that she could have some surgery to help her so she could function a little bit better. But the surgery goes wrong. And she really is in a bad condition and she has to be in a wheelchair. And her husband, George, decides that he's going to take care of her. He doesn't want anyone else around. He doesn't need any caretakers. He doesn't need a nurse. He's going to take care of his wife. He loves his wife and he will take care of her. So the movie shows just how hard that is. So it's so emotional and it's so painful to witness how George, her husband, goes through this terrible pain and terrible suffering to see his wife, his beloved wife, just deteriorating, just dying. You know, she's just getting worse and worse and worse. And there's a daughter who comes in and she wants to try to help. He says, no, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take care of her. And he just gets, it's more hard and it's more painful and he's trying to help her in the bed and out of the bed and, you know, feeding her and giving her medication. And he's just hardly able to handle it anymore. And eventually she dies. And it's just really a beautiful, just beautiful the way that it, the story unfolded and his deep pain and his grief that he felt. So while I was watching this, and it was, you know, like a couple of hours of watching her in this condition with the stroke and paralyzed and him trying to help her and just how bad, you know, just the suffering, both for him and for her, that I started to imagine that this was going to happen to me, right? This is going to happen to me. And I just started to get quite scared. I started to feel a lot of fear. I was watching by myself. I was alone in my house. And I noticed how I just started going, wow, that's awful. That's so much suffering. And that's going to happen to me. And I was getting scared. And then I noticed that I started to get scared that I was getting scared. Right. I was like, oh, I'm really getting scared. And then I thought, oh, I'm really starting to go like down that hole, you know. And because I had awareness, because I was able to stay present with the way this was happening, I knew that I had to do something different than going with this imagination. Because I could see that it was very slippery. That if I stayed with that story, if I stayed with that way my mind was imagining what was going to happen to me, it would be extremely fearful and painful. So with my practice, I could just change this. Go, wait a minute. I'm not dying. Right in this moment, I'm fine. I'm not dying. I'm healthy. I'm here in my home, in my protected home. I'm well. And I don't know how I'm going to die. I will die, but I don't know how I'm going to die. And if I start to imagine because of this movie, the way she died, and how painful that was. If my mind goes there, that's going to really be a lot of suffering. So I could see with awareness that I had a choice. I could either keep going down that train, get on that train and go down that train track, which is the papancha, the spreading out, get bigger and bigger and bigger, and all of a sudden, I'm like her. That's the way it's going to be, right? And then I start to feel paralyzed, right? And then I have a stroke, right? Because I'm so frightened, right? But I start to see, you know, no, I'm fine. And so our practice, we can see with our practice that it's really this question of what's happening. So this morning we started to talk about that. Am I aware? In this moment, yes, I'm aware. What am I aware of? I'm aware that I'm making this story that has no reality, has no reality, is not connected to my life at all. In fact, both of my grandmothers lived past 100. My mother is already 93, very healthy and well. The genes are good. The program is good. On the maternal side, on the mother's side, you know. look at reality. What is the reality? What's happening? So what's happening is I'm sitting on my sofa. I'm watching a movie. I'm in my house. Right? And so then coming back, breathing. Just breathing. Regulating the breathing again, because and then just, okay, it's all right. It's okay. Things are okay. Just sitting and breathing and feeling my body, looking around, knowing where I am. I'm here. Coming back, coming back. And as I come back, the whole body, mind starts to be in balance again. Breath starts to be more normal, the blood's flowing normal. I can breathe again, the constriction starts to open. And that's what happens when we're back in reality. In this case, it was okay. I mean, sometimes maybe the reality will be that we're in a train crash, right? And then we respond to that. That's real. It's really happening. So then we respond to it. But in this case, just papancha, just getting on a train, right? Going to some destination that I don't even want to go. I don't want to go there. I don't want that to happen. And so this practice, am I aware? What am I aware of? Right? How am I being aware right now? I'm being aware with fear, with anxiety, with aversion. I don't want that, resistance. And just to breathe and to feel this, let it move through. Because I scared myself. And we do this. We scare ourselves all the time. You know, it's like we paint the picture on the screen of the mind, the screen of consciousness. And this picture comes and then we get scared. But it's just a picture. A lot of times, most of the time, it's not really happening. It's not really happening. We're fine most of the time. There's a story, one of the old stories, where this in the cavemen times, there was a man in a cave. He was an artist, and he was painting a picture on the wall of the cave. And we've seen these old cave drawings, and he was painting a picture of a tiger. And as he was getting close to being finished with the picture, it was looking like a real tiger. And he looked at the picture and went, "Oh my God, there's a tiger!" And he ran out of the cave. And I love that because it's what we're doing all the time. It's like we're painting pictures of tigers on the screen of our own mind and then getting frightened and running away or getting very busy because we don't want to know what's on our mind or in our mind. So finding many ways to distract ourselves because we don't really want to know. We get frightened. We get frightened of what's really there. And I know for a long time, I really thought that if I looked deeply at myself, that I would find something very bad. You know, this is what I believed for many years of my life, that it was like a rotten apple, you know, that if I really, really looked, I'd find this rotten apple. Like everybody else is a good apple, but this apple's rotten, right? And I think many people have this feeling, you know, somehow it's okay out there, but it's not okay here. And yet it's important to find out, is it true? Is it really true? Because otherwise I'm going around believing and acting like it's true, and then trying to hide, trying to cover it up, so nobody sees, nobody finds out that's really something bad. So I looked very deeply. I looked very, very deeply, and I found out there's nothing rotten here. There's nothing bad here. It was just an idea. It's just something in my mind that I learned, or somebody told me, maybe my mother. My mother always telling me, you're really bad. But when I looked deeply, I couldn't find anything that was bad. In fact, I actually found a lot of goodness, a lot of love, a lot of joy, a lot of heart. And I believe that I now have gone to the core. I've gone to the bottom. There isn't anything else. I feel I've uncovered everything. There's no more fear, no more belief about that, about who I am or what it's like, if I really look deeply. And for so much of my life, I just keep it over there, I didn't really want to know. Didn't really want to know. But I knew I had to find out, what's the truth? What's the truth? And so I would say that for me now, this journey, this happy journey with a little music, a little background music for the story, is what I don't even know what I was going to say. What was I going to say? Oh, I know. This journey now, this journey really is about the discovery of the truth. What is true? Uncovering everything to find out if it's true or not. So there is a kind of a letting go. It's a letting go into this journey. And this letting go is a kind of death. It is a kind of death. Because it's a death to who I believe I am. It's a death of this sense of me and how I've built up and constructed this sense of me through all of my ideas and my beliefs and my stories and everything that everybody's ever told me. Right? As I let go, I die to the past. I die to all of those ideas, all of those beliefs. We call it ego death, right? In the spiritual traditions, it's called ego death, right? And we die before we die. We die before the death of this body. Right? The ego dies, the sense of me. Because that's false. It's not true. And so this journey becomes one of uncovering the truth. What is the truth of this existence, of this nature, of this being? What is the truth? We might even say that we could call this journey the love of truth. Just love the truth. Right? It's like there's a fire or a passion for the truth. Because we don't want to live with the lies and the falseness anymore. Right? This is the waking up. We wake up. wake up to what is true, what is real, not imaginary, not made up by our mind, which is just conditioned from the past. The mind is the past. The mind is all the past. So this is getting out of the way. We get out of the way. And as we do that, we develop these qualities of trust and patience, of love, of kindness, even fearlessness. Even the fear drops away. Right? And then what remains? What's left? This is what we want to know. What's left? Someone asked that question today. What's left? When all of the troublesome aspects of the mind drop away, when those difficult states of mind are no longer pushing up against consciousness, what's left? And this is what we want to discover. This is what is possible for us. This amazing adventure of life, this journey of life. What can we discover? Just to end with one sentence from the third Zen patriarch of China in the 7th century. The way is perfect, like vast space where nothing is lacking and nothing is in excess. Nothing's too much. Nothing's lacking and nothing's too much. The way is perfect, like vast space. Let's just sit quietly for a moment.